मैत्रेय उवाच हरिंशोऽपि तथा चक्रे दिव्यं वर्षशतं तपः आत्मन्यात्मानमावेश्य यथा भगवान् अजः The learned sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, Brahma thus engaged himself in penances for 100 celestial years, as advised by the personality of Godhead, and applied himself in devotional service to the Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That Brahma engaged himself for the personality of Godhead, Narayan, means that he engaged himself in the service of the Lord. That is the highest penance which one can perform for any number of years. There is no retirement from such service, which is eternal and ever encouraging. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. Human life is meant to perform tapasya. At the beginning of the creation of our universe, Lord Brahma was given this instruction by the personality of Godhead, Tapa. Taking that order upon his head as his life and soul, he engaged in tapasya for 100 celestial years. What type of tapasya? That is what is all important. Lord Brahma's tapasya was that he engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Lord. It is only through such devotional service that one can approach the Supreme Lord in such a way that we can please the Lord. And that is the object of everything we do in this world, if we have transcendental intelligence. Sam sadhir hari toshin. Whatever occupation, whatever duties, whatever responsibilities we may have, its perfection is when it is done in such a way that Krishna is pleased. Because Krishna is the source of all pleasure. We are all seeking pleasure. When we water the root of the tree, the rest of the tree is nourished. When we please Krishna, our life is perfect. This is the only standard that one who is situated in transcendental knowledge uses to discern success or failure. If Krishna is pleased, we are successful. If Krishna is displeased, we have failed. Whatever the material results will be, material results come and go like drops of water on the leaf of the lotus flower. All of our acquisitions, all of our fame and accomplishments, they cannot stay. They cannot bring us any lasting happiness. We see in this world, it is such a difficult place that a person can be so successful for so many years of his or her life, and one mistake, and people just remember that mistake, and they suffer. Politicians, they may work so hard for so many years to gain a position, but then one mistake, and they will be condemned for the rest of history. And they suffer. They suffer terribly. So we should not take serious our material accomplishments, our material abilities, intelligence, nor should we take seriously whatever praise or blame we may be getting due to the circumstantial results of our present or previous activities. What we should take serious is the question, did I please Krishna? If I did, neha bikramana sosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. I have achieved something eternal by pleasing Krishna. It is everlastingly remembered by the Lord who is seated within my heart. Pleasing Krishna is real success. This is very difficult to maintain this consciousness. However, it is really the reason why we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other scriptures every day. To keep our consciousness fixed in truth. Krishna explains in Gita that I am the supreme truth. There is no truth superior to me. Everything rests on me as pearls are strung on a thread. And one who knows this truth understands that all living beings are in me and they are mine. To know the truth is called knowledge. But to act according to that knowledge, that is bhakti. The truth is that we are all part of Krishna. He is the supreme. We are his eternal servants. And how to act according to that truth? To serve the supreme Lord in such a way that the Lord is pleased with our endeavors. And the Lord is pleased by our sincerity. The results of our activities are not what is important, but the intention in which we perform our devotional service. According to our intention, Krishna reveals himself. So let us not be carried away by the influences of the three modes of material nature. Prakrite kriyamana nigunai karmani saravasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered soul, under the influence of these three modes, thinks him or herself to be the doer of their activities. But actually, they're carried out by Krishna through material nature. Krishna's external energy has created and is orchestrating all the various phenomena within material nature. But a devotee wants to be liberated from the influences of this external energy and enter into the divine ecstasy of the internal energy. Devotional service is the internal energy of the Lord, and activities for gross or subtle forms of material enjoyment are the external energy of the Lord. So we want to come out of that subordination. However, this external energy of the Lord, which is very difficult to overcome, very difficult. It is constantly trying to divert our consciousness toward the spirit of enjoyment. Even when we're devotees, this is factually the greatest thing we must be careful of. What intentions are coming into my mind by the power of Maya? Am I doing this service because I want some fruitive result? Am I doing this service because I will get some physical comforts, some recognition, some honor and respect? Am I doing this so that people will see what a great soul I am? Such a good manager, such a thoughtful philosopher, such an empowered being. Is this my intention? Or am I honestly and earnestly doing it because I want to please Guru, please Vaishnavas, and please Krishna as their servant? They've given me something. Let me use it to please them. If that is our intention, that is real tapasya. Then our activity is truly a success. Of course, the mind is such a thing that it will always, until we are in a very liberated state, be proposing so many of these material calculations of what we really want. So what are we supposed to do? We actually want to perform our service to please Krishna, but the mind is saying, you will be honored, you will be recognized, you will get benefits if you do this. What are we supposed to do? It's very difficult to just turn the mind off like you turn off a light. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? However, the mind just torments. However, if with our intelligence we fix it, no mind, this is not right. Bhajahure mana sri nandanandana abhaya charanaravindare. These ideas are there. I want this gross enjoyment, I want this subtle enjoyment, but actually I do not want it. I want to please Krishna. I want to make this a sacrifice. I want to be purified, and this is a great obstacle to my purification. Therefore, if with our intelligence we have an intention to strive, to go beyond the restless nature of the mind, that in itself pleases Krishna. That means your intention is right. Despite the storm, the stormy weather that you have to perform your service through. It is the rainy season now. Very, very wet time, sometimes torrents of rain. But sometimes we have our service and we have to go through so much rain and winds. It's very difficult, but we go on with our service. So similarly, sometimes our mind, it's just like a monsoon rain with all thunder and lightning and torrents of water coming down, and it makes it very difficult. We're performing our service and the mind is saying, ah, recognition, fame, honor and respect. Then when the mind gets even grosser, the mind is thinking, you will get material resources, you may even get pleasure of sex life and so many other various ideas that you can enjoy in so many ways through your senses. Just go on doing this service, what I promise you. It's like a storm. We have to carry on in our service. But as we're carrying on, our intelligence has to keep fighting against these winds and rains and thunder and lightning. Say, no, this is not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I want to please Krishna. I've had these things before. Puna punas charavata charavana nam. I don't want it anymore. I've chewed the chewed of material enjoyment birth after birth after birth. All these things my mind is promising me and tempting me. They are available to the hogs and dogs that eat stool. And yet I'm attracted. And after millions of births, I've come to the human life. And after hundreds or thousands and thousands of human births, I've met a spiritual master. I've come in contact with Lord Chaitanya's special mercy. I'm given the opportunity to perform the crest jewel of all activities, devotional service, and my mind is still such a scoundrel that it's meditating on the same activities of the dogs and the hogs and the carmies, who are simply two-legged hogs and dogs. What is this nonsense, crazy mind? Get out. You may do whatever you like to me, but I will go on and I will pray to Krishna that not you, but Krishna. If this is our intelligence, that is pleasing to Krishna. We read the scriptures because our intelligence has to be strong. The falsity of Maya's presentations should be seen for what they are. They are lies. Maya's promising you happiness. You look at this. You hear this, taste this, touch this, feel this, smell this. You get this respect and recognition. You'll be happy. Of course you'll be happy. But the intelligence says, no, I'll be miserable. A little happiness and a lot of misery. That is what Krishna has said. That is what all the great acharyas have said. How many times did you taste something nice to eat in your life? And yet your tongue is saying, oh, you must taste this, then you'll be happy. Just use your intelligence. I've tasted things millions of births. I've tasted things as a wolf and a bear and a hippopotamus with my big, huge tongue. I've tasted so many things, and where am I now? I'm thinking, if I only taste this, I will be happy. Puna punas charavata charavanana. Chewing the chew. If you look at this, oh, you will be happy. I've seen these things thousands of times, millions of times, and millions of births. What happiness is there now? And Maya is saying, look at this and you'll be happy. Touch this and you'll be happy. Touch. How many times I've touched? Animals, that's all they do is touch. Are they happy? I've done it. Birth after birth after birth after birth, and where am I now? I'm frustrated and lonely, and Maya is saying, touch this and you'll be happy. Hare Krishna. This is called human intelligence, to see what is what. But we cannot see what is what without the help of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Because Maya is so strong. This potency is so bewildering. Literally, she says darkness is light and light is darkness, and we believe her. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, forgetfulness of Krishna, sense gratification is darkness. And Krishna consciousness, devotion to the Lord, is light. But Maya is convincing the whole world that light is dark and dark is light. And we believe her. If you were out in the middle of a moonless night and someone said, it's light out, what would you say? You would say, you nonsense liar, it's not light out, it's dark. No, it's light. But that's how we're living birth after birth. We're in the middle of the darkness of material bondage, and Maya is saying, it's light. This is where real happiness is to be found. And actually, you cannot understand how Maya is doing this unless you have the help of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Maya is so strong. Only Krishna can deliver us from that Maya. No other way. And Krishna comes to us in this world through the spiritual master, the scriptures, the Vaishnavas. In their association, being attentive to what they are speaking, we can discriminate what is truth and what is illusion. But then we have to act on that truth. That means, Krishna, how can I please you? How can I serve you? Now, we know materialistic people, they are very unfortunately, piteously, being pulled like a bull with a nose ring by Maya's various modes of nature. However, a devotee who has achieved the most precious opportunity to perfect their existence through devotional service, the mind and the senses are also trying to betray them. So what to do? We have to hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the scriptures regularly. We have to discuss these subjects. We have to take shelter of the holy name of the Lord. And with the power or the strength that we get from this, we have to apply it in our daily life to be good, intelligent. Let me please Krishna. Let me not believe that anything else will satisfy me. And I can't please Krishna unless I'm humble, respectful, and sincere. Sometimes devotees, not understanding what is what in the path of bhakti, they think that to accomplish my goal, let me make aparads to devotees, it doesn't matter, because I will be success if I accomplish what is my idea and ideal. However, if you unnecessarily make offenses to devotees, then what's happened? You've defeated the purpose of everything you're working so hard to achieve. You've got the result, but you didn't please Krishna. And if you get a result and don't please Krishna through that result, it's inevitable, it's just a matter of time till that very result will cause you misery. That is the law of nature. If you get the result and it pleases Krishna, whether the result is success or failure, that's not important. What's important is your endeavor and intention, the humility and the service that you're trying to render. Then that will have everlasting effect and it will bring real happiness and light into our life. So when Lord Brahma performed tapasya, he didn't perform tapasya like so many impersonalistic yogis or like so many karmakandis who do tapasya to achieve various powers or various material acquisition. He performed his tapasya in the mood of a servant of the Lord, to please the Lord, under the Lord's blessing and instruction. Therefore, he achieved the real great goal of life. And by doing so, yad yad acharati stres tas-tat-tare-vetarojana, he is teaching us what we should do and how we should do it. So we must be very sober and thoughtful in Krishna consciousness. Our evaluation should simply be not to see things how they appear, but to see where is Krishna? How is Krishna being served? How is Krishna being satisfied by our activities, by the activities of others? And sometimes we satisfy Krishna, and by his mercy, he gives us more and more abilities, facilities to carry on with our service. But then it's even more dangerous. The greater the service, dangers also increase. That we have to be careful of. We want to do more service. We don't want to just be stagnant. I've done this much and I'm afraid to do more. However, the more we do to satisfy Krishna, sometimes he will give us more facilities to serve him and satisfy him. Dharmasya hyavavargyasya nartatayopakalpate. But we should not think that these are meant for me. We should not think that this is because of my greatness. But rather we should think, this is dangerous. If I try to utilize this wonderful facility that Krishna is giving me for any other reason than to humbly serve him and please him in a spirit of trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sihishnana, amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. What is it that Krishna cannot do through his devotee if he so desires? It is the humility of our heart and the sincerity of our desire to please him that attracts Krishna, the all-attractive. That is actually what we are in this movement for, to be attracted by Krishna. To be so attracted by Krishna that our heart is offered exclusively at his lotus feet. And to share that great gift of attraction to Krishna with everyone and anyone that it was within my capacity to give to. That is why we have come to this movement. And that is what we will achieve undoubtedly if we are sincere and thoughtful to perform our devotional service under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra in the proper association of sincere devotees. Is there any questions?
Maharaj, you always emphatically stress this point that we should be the servant of the servant of the servant. Should we be this, have this attitude towards devotees only or to the cruel world outside?
We should, our aspiration is ultimately to be the servant of Krishna. And that means we want to be the servant of every living being, even the insignificant insect. But we have to understand what it means to serve. Different types of people who are in different categories of life. However, the beginning of developing this real consciousness comes through serving Krishna's devotees. We serve Krishna's devotees by associating with them, by hearing and chanting, by trying to assist them and encourage them in their Krishna consciousness on every level. That is most important. And we serve those persons who are not following the true path of Dharma by trying to enlighten them and inspire them to come to the light out of the darkness. That is also service. We don't serve them by trying to facilitate their sense gratification. We serve them by trying to enlighten them. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, is it proper for a devotee to think that if I had some more abilities and facilities, I could serve Krishna better and preach better?
Yes, it is proper. However, you should not be attached. It is our duty to try to serve Krishna with the best we possibly can. When Madhavendra Puri was told by Gopal, go to Jagannath Puri, the Malayan hills, and get sandalwood and camphor. Are those facilities, sandalwood and camphor? So he worked so hard to try to get those facilities to serve the Lord. But his only purpose was to please Krishna. So yes, Srila Prabhupada built beautiful temples, and he had his devotees out trying to collect donations to build the temples. He had the devotees doing the architectural designs to make the temples. And what is the temple? It is a facility. So if it is the desire of the senior Vaishnavas that we try for these facilities, we should give our life wholesale to get those facilities. But we shouldn't be attached to the facilities. We should be attached to the service for the pleasure of the Lord. If we become too much attached or dependent on facilities, that spoils our devotional service. But to try to get them and utilize them, if that's the best way we can serve, that is Krishna consciousness. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, talking about Maya, whenever the attack of Maya comes, as you said, that we have always to have that consciousness that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And I don't have to have any sense gratification that is gross or is subtle. Now, whenever the attack comes, we try to struggle and we go on striving to get that consciousness. Somehow or other we get that consciousness and again we go again to the material energy, get succumb to material energy. This will go on and on and on for the last breath of our life. And if the last breath of our life also we go on struggling this way, but we are not purified totally. That attack is constantly coming and we are struggling, we are not purified. Even if we are not purified but we have struggled for the whole lifetime, will Krishna accept us and he will accept us as a perfect candidate to go to his abode, or still he will tell us that you have to come and go on struggle and struggle until you get purified? What is the thing?
Krishna will decide how he wants to deal with you at that time. Better you become purified so that question does not come about at the time of death. We should be striving for that purification. And if we earnestly strive throughout our life, Krishna knows your intentions. He knows your sincerity. And Krishna will do what's best for you at that last moment. He may take you right back home, back to Godhead. He may completely purify you in that last second. The second before the last one, he may just, by his own sweet will, free your heart of all material contamination. If you're really sincere throughout your life and struggling to serve him honestly and humbly, not offending others, then Krishna can see what a life this person has done. So much past karma this person has had to deal with, and it's created so many impressions in his or her mind, and he or she has just been battling against the mind and the senses and all past sinful reactions, and still remain humble and sincere through all that. Oh, I am pleased. If Krishna wants, he can give you another birth where you don't have to deal with all of those crazy thoughts of your mind. And you can, from the very beginning, have just such a natural inclination toward bhakti. Or if he wants, he can send you to the heavenly planets where you can practice devotional service there. Or if he wants, he can have you born from one of the Matajis of Radha Gopinath's congregation. And have Radha Gopinath's prasad the first thing that you eat. And have so many little friends, like Raghunath. Or Krishna can say, he can just, in the second before the last, it's as easy as anything. He can just, all right, clean slate. Just like, have you ever operated a computer? You just press a button saying delete, and you can have 100,000 words, and you just press that one button, it's gone. Where is it? Nobody knows. It's gone, never to be seen again. Paramatma can just press the delete button. No more, you're pure. You're completely pure, ecstatic Vaishnava. And then the next second you die, Hare Krishna, and you go back to Godhead. Krishna can do so many according to his sweet will. So we just try to please him. We trust him. We depend on Krishna. In our life, if Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead and he sees that we really should go, he can send us despite. We have the mercy of great Vaishnavas upon us. How Krishna can help us? Or he may give us a better chance. Either way, our desire should be whether I go back to Godhead or whether I have to take birth again in this material world, let it be in the association of devotees. Let it be where I can go on serving you and chanting your holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare.
Any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you always say that one should act according to one's nature. But also it is said that one should fight with determination. So is it that determination has any relationship with our modes?
Whether determination is anything to do with our nature?
Someone is in the mode of ignorance, is he less determined?
Huh?
Like, if we have many material desires, So material desires are coming because of the three modes of material nature, depending upon one's nature. But then also it is said that one, if one has determination, he can overcome material desires. So how does these two are interrelated?
How, which two are interrelated?
Determination and modes. Is it that even if someone is in the mode of ignorance, can he by his determination overcome his modes and be established in the sattva guna and perform devotional service? Or is it succumb by his modes?
Hare Krishna. In essence, your question is, whatever type of maya we're in, that we should just stay there, because whatever determination I have is completely based on the type of maya I'm in. So let me just remain in maya forever. And if someone says you should be determined, you say, well, I'm in the mode of ignorance, and in the mode of ignorance, how can I have determination? Or if you're being attracted to passion, and someone says, don't do it. You say, but I need determination to not do it. And if I'm in passion, that means my determination is according to the nature of this passion. So my determination is to fulfill it. You know. This is called cheating. Krishna has given us, through transcendental knowledge, the power to be determined to overcome the influence of the three modes of material nature and serve Krishna. He has given all of us that. When we come in contact with great personalities and we hear from them, we gain spiritual determination. Materialistic people, they have determination. Even animals have determination. But it's simply to fulfill their egoistic purposes in life. Do you think these big skyscrapers and wonderful buildings and bridges and roads are built without determination? Do you think a person becomes the chairman of the board of a big company without determination? Do you think a person graduates college without determination? So many people are accomplishing so much in this world due to their incredible determination. When people fight wars, do you think World War I, World War II was won without determination? So that type of determination is completely within the realm of the particular modes of material nature that we're in. That's what you're talking about. However, after passing through so many births, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Vai Bhakti Lata Bij, after living with that type of determination to fulfill the desires born of the modes of material nature within my heart, we finally come in contact with the spiritual master. He plants the seed of devotion. That seed is Vairagya Vidyanuja Bhakti Yogam. He gives us a seed of knowledge. He teaches us how to execute that knowledge through practicing vairagya, or renunciation, and devotional service. And he gives us determination. It's coming from Krishna. We understand what is right and what is wrong, and we have the determination to do what's right and not do what is wrong. That determination is not born of the modes of material nature. That determination is meant to overcome the modes of material nature. And you have it. The question is, do you use it? If you use the determination Krishna gives you, he will give you more and more and more and more. If you don't use it, he will take it away. And again, the determination of a materialistic animal. The materialist, the determination of a karmi. I have passion, I'll get it. Criminals have tremendous determination. You know what determination it takes to rob a bank? Tremendous determination. So much plotting, so much risk, so much training. And you know that 99% of all people who've tried it has failed. But still I have to do it. Great determination. But it's simply determination born of one's materialistic desires. But Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we have been given a determination to overcome all these desires, to overcome our anger, our lust, our pride, our envy, our greed and illusion, and to please Krishna and go on with our service no matter what. a determination, no matter what the mind, the senses, and the whole rest of the world and creation are telling me, I'm going to sit down and chant the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna.
And the more you use that determination, the more Krishna will be pleased to give you more and more and more and more determination. But if you're not willing to use what Krishna gives you, he takes it away. Does that answer your question? When they asked Prabhupada in 1972 in New Vrindavan, what if one doesn't have determination? Prabhupada said, then you are an animal. Human life is meant to be determined to overcome what's wrong and to do what is right, to accept what is favorable for Krishna consciousness and to reject what is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. That is determination. You have it. Use it. You'll get more and more and more by the grace of Krishna. What was Srila Prabhupada's determination? Against the odds of the entire material creation working against him, he was victorious because he wouldn't give up. My guru wants this mission to spread all over the world. It doesn't matter I have no money. It doesn't matter I have no place to stay. It doesn't matter I don't even have any food to offer to Krishna's prasad to distribute. It doesn't matter that no one wants to help me. In fact, they're criticizing me. It doesn't matter I have a 70-year-old body with rheumatism and heart attacks. I must do what my Guru Maharaj has said. That determination. Krishna gave him more and more and more. And a few years later, hundreds of temples, thousands of devotees, millions of books. So, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta. We should follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you said that we should not strive for recognition for our devotional activities. We should not strive for recognition of our devotional activities. But if we don't tell our activities to the senior Vaishnavas, we may miss the blessings also. And if we tell them, then we may get recognition. So what should we do?
What do you think? If it pleases them, we should tell them. It is as simple as that.
Then again, there is a fear of getting recognition and we getting puffed up.
If you fear that, then you will be safe. If you want that, then you will not be safe. However, we perform our service because we want to please Krishna and Vaishnavas. We should not boast that, see what I have done. But rather, this has been done for your pleasure. I hope it is pleasing to you. And we should inform superior Vaishnavas of what we have done as an offering to them, because they're happy. If you go out and do a wonderful preaching program and so many nice people are taking prasad and so many nice guests are chanting and dancing. If you come back and tell the devotees of that, they'll be so happy. So why not come and tell them? However, we should be in the mood of trying to satisfy them. We should understand we are not the doer. We should not be expecting honor and recognition. But we want to offer the fruits of our actions for the pleasure of the Guru, the Vaishnavas, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha Gopinath. Does that answer your question? So yes, you should tell us. You shouldn't advertise it widely. Better you give credit to someone else. But the wonderful service that has been done will give pleasure to the great souls. Is there any other questions? Yes.
Mara, is there any over-endeavoring in devotional service?
What do you think?
I mean, sir, to what extent we should perform our service, because it's always said that we should always aspire for more and more service. And how do we...
If you're getting enough rest to keep body and soul together, and your sadhana is very strong and faithful, and you are fulfilling the essential responsibilities that you have in your life, then there is no possibility of over-endeavor in devotional service. Over-endeavor means when we lose our good intelligence of how to balance our life properly in Krishna consciousness. If we have no time to read, no time to properly chant our japa, no time to come and associate with devotees. If we're neglecting certain very important principles, which is a bad example to others, just like in the brahmachari ashram, the brahmacharis are meant to come to the entire morning program. If we have some service and we just want to do it during that time, and we're giving a bad example to others by not being what we should be doing, then that's a disservice. So as long as we are keeping the basic principles of sadhana and keeping our health, body and soul together nicely and maintaining the responsibilities that are basic within our varna or ashram, then there's no question of over-endeavor. If you're leading a bad example by neglecting certain principles, that is over-endeavor. If you're working so hard that you're getting sick and tired and you can't, your mind is just becoming crazy due to lack of proper regulation, that is over-endeavor. If you're trying to collect far more than what is required, that is over-endeavor. However, if our sadhana and our basic regulation to keep body and soul together is in order, then endeavor with your heart and soul. Don't hold back. Does that answer your question? And if we understand, sometimes we endeavor so hard for something that's less important, we neglect something that's more important. should take good guidance for that. If a husband neglects his family, that's also service. That's an over-endeavor for one service, but an under-endeavor for a service that's very sacred and must be maintained properly. And the overall result will be problems in Krishna consciousness. If we have a particular career like a businessman and we're just endeavoring, we neglect, we're doing it for Krishna ultimately. We want to give the money to Krishna, at least a portion of it. But we're neglecting our family, we're neglecting our children, we're neglecting our sadhana, we're neglecting properly reading. That is over-endeavor. That is why we have to have spiritual master and senior Vaishnavas to guide us, to create the proper balance in our life by which we can put our heart and soul and in full endeavor in such a way that we perform the greatest service and make the best progress in our devotional service. So we need specific guidance. Is that all right? Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, I want to ask something somewhat the opposite of what he asked. Is that if during our working lives we find very little time to actually do any service, and also if we get the time, somehow that enthusiasm to serve is not there. So what should we do to counter this unproductive kind of feeling? How should we get enthusiastic to serve?
You should be determined. Determination means I know it's right, I will do it. You don't have to be determined so much if you feel like it. But if you do not feel like it, but you know this is what I should be doing, you must do it. That is tapasya. That is how we make spiritual advancement. Don't be attached to what you feel like. Be attached to what is required. What Krishna wants. Does Krishna want me to go to sleep after a hard day's work? Or does Krishna want me to come to Radha Gopinath temple to chant and dance with Vaishnavas and hear the glories of Krishna? You ask that question. If you're sick, he may want you to sleep. And if you don't know the answer, you call up your father or your mother or your counselor and you ask, does Krishna want me to come to the program tonight, or does Krishna want me to go to sleep? And if the answer is Krishna wants you to come, then you should hurry fast as possible to Radha Gopinath temple with the devotees, purify your life by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
That is determination.